الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن انتهوا فإن الله غفور رحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم We shall start from verse number 192 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, فَإِنْ تَهُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ And if they repent and they turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Then indeed Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the most forgiving and most merciful. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ And you fight with them and you kill them until and unless there is no fitna. وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ And deen is only and only for Allah. فَإِنْتَهُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ And if they repent, again the word إِنْتَهُ فَإِنْتَهُ And if they repent, فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ So there will be no fight, there will be no enmity except upon those who are the oppressors. Then Allah Ta'ala says in verse 194, أَشَّهْرُ الْحَرَامُ بِالشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٍ That a blessed month or a sacred month is in return to the sacred month. وَالْحُرُمَاتُ قِصَاصٍ And the unlawful blood that is shed, the repentance of that has to be qisas. فَمَنِ اعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ And those who transgress upon you, فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ So you should also do similar thing. بِمِثْلِ مَا اعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ Similar to what they have transgressed, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And you should fear Allah. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ So the first verse, verse number 192, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنِنْ تَهُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ What is the meaning of repentance over here? That we say in Urdu that, if they turn away, so if they turn away from their kufr, and if they accept Islam, they turn away from their kufr and accept Islam. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ so Indeed, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the most forgiving and most merciful. This is the rule that we discussed last time as well, that when you present Islam upon a community on which who has oppressed other non-Muslims or who have been oppressing others, so there are three options that you present to them. Number one, that you accept Islam. Number two, you accept the supremacy of Islam, you accept the laws of Islam, you accept those laws sent by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, which if implemented properly and acted upon will never ever lead to any oppression in this world, and this whole world will be free from oppression. So if you accept that law and give us the jizya, sabiha. And the third option is that if you do not accept the above two, then you can fight with us and we can decide via the sword. So this is talking about the first thing, that if they accept Islam and they turn away from the kufr, they repent, then Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving for them. This tells us that whatever the disbelievers did and whatever the disbelievers still do, the moment they accept Islam, the day they accept Islam, the second they accept Islam, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will forgive each and every sin of theirs. Allahu Akbar Kabira, how great is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, how merciful is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that those who have sinned against Him, those who have transgressed against Him, those who have killed His believers, His lovers, the moment they repent with sincerity, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is ready to forgive them. So imagine if Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is ready to forgive those oppressors, then if we as believers turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and we ask for true sincere forgiveness, why not Allah Ta'ala will forgive our sins? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ if Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is al-Ghafoor for the non-believers, then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is much, much, much more Ghafoor for the believers. The only thing is that we have to turn towards Him. We have to repent sincerely, with sincerity. Then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, in the next verse, verse number 193, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ. This verse, this kind of a rule, is a ruling, and Allah Ta'ala is explaining that you should fight them until a certain period. What's that time period? Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ, that you should fight with them, حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ, till the time there is no fitna. There is no fitna on this earth. Now what is meant by fitna over here? The majority of the ulama, the majority of the mufassirun have taken this opinion that the word fitna over here means shirk. It means shirk. That you should fight with them until and unless there is no shirk on this earth. There is no one who disbelieves in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. There is no one who associates partners to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And this shirk can be in multiple levels, in multiple levels, multiple levels. You can give a whole bayan upon it, what can be meant by shirk over here. So we can think about shirk, taking idols as associates to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Worst kind of shirk. You take idols as partners to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and you worship them. Then, you consider money to be your Lord. You consider your social status to be your Lord. You worship it so much. What is worshipping? That you sacrifice the ahkam of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the injunctions of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for the sake of money, for the sake of your social status, for the sake of your education. So this means that your Lord, your Allah, your Ilah is not Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, rather your Ilah, the one whom you're worshipping, is this mal, this world, this dunya, this profit that you're getting from a business. Then similarly, who have illegal and prohibited love in their hearts for namahram, that is the type of shirk as well. That you have given your heart to someone who does not deserve it. This heart is meant to be given to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala says, that I have bought this heart of the believers, and in return I have given them and blessed them with Jannah. So this heart is for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and we put in over here the idols of this world, the idols of these prohibited and forbidden loves. It's all shirk. Then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ, and the deen is only and only for Allah. And deen becomes only and only for Allah. What is meant by this? That Allah is the only being that is worshipped. And His laws are being fulfilled. And the Prophet ﷺ is the Prophet who's agreed upon. And whose injunctions and whose Shariat will be implemented. No other Shariat will be accepted. Each and every Shariat has been abrogated by the presence of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After his arrival, not a single Shariat will be accepted, and the laws that will be implemented will be Islamic laws. Now comes the next verse. This is a bit technical verse that we spoke about last time as well. الشَّحْرُ الْحَرَامُ بِالشَّحْرِ الْحَرَامُ وَالْحُرُمَاتُ وَقِسَاسِ. A sacred month in replace of sacred month. Now what is meant by it? So the first Shahrul Haram, try to understand, the first Shahrul Haram means the Zulqa'dah in which the Qaza of Umrah was performed. So let us just recall what we spoke about it last time. The Prophet ﷺ went in 6th Hijrah to perform Umrah, and the Mushrikeen in Makkah did not allow him and his followers and his Sahaba Ikram to enter into Makkah territory, and they stopped him over there. And then what was done? Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed over there. And the Prophet ﷺ was asked to go back and can in the come in the next year, in the following year, and do his Umrah. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he started traveling, it was the month of Zulqa'dah. And the Prophet ﷺ could not do his Umrah over there, and he had to do the Qaza of Zulqadah. So it was Shahr al-Haram, it was a month, a sacred month. We spoke about the sacred months, the sacred month, the four sacred months in which fighting was prohibited. And it's still prohibited. And the Mushrikeen of Makkah will also consider it to be sacred. And they will not fight in those 4 months. So Zulqadah was amongst those 4 months. So Ash-Shahr al-Haram, it means the month of Zulqadah in which the Qaza of Umrah was performed. The Qaza of Umrah was performed Bish-Shahr al-Haram. This Bish-Shahr al-Haram is talking about the previous Zulqadah in which the Muslims entered, were about to enter the Meccan territory, and the disbelievers stopped them from entering. And the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed. So what is meant by it? That this means now it is the time for recompensation. That how do you recompense? The disbelievers did not fight you last time. The disbelievers did not fight you last time and they let you go with a peace treaty. Similarly, you should not go and fight with them in this sacred month. Because they did not fight you. Therefore, you should also fight them. Then Allah Ta'ala says, the last part, فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. This whole lesson, this whole part of the verse tells us that Allah Ta'ala is saying that if they transgress against you, then you should only and only put forward an attack similar to what they did. You cannot cross your limits. You can only do what they did. You can only recompense for what they did earlier. You cannot cross your limits. And if, for example, if they hurt you with an intensity of 10%, you cannot hurt them back with an intensity of 20%. You can only go till 10%, that's it. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And you should fear Allah. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And you should know that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is with the muttaqeen, with those who fear Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. What is the lesson over here? The lesson over here in this verse for us is that whenever we are oppressed in any way or in any form, first of all we should forgive. And if in any case, if in any way we try to take recompensation, that recompensation can only be to the level that we were hurt. So for example, somebody flawed us. Somebody, you can say, yes, a good example of it is that you were a business partner with someone and somebody ditched you in the business. So you can file a lawsuit against him, but by that lawsuit you cannot get much more than what he did to you. If he ditched you by $1 million, you can only get that $1 million back. But you won't charge him for $10 million. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is saying you can only and only do what he did to you. And this is a rule which is studied in fiqh as well. That for example, if somebody hits you and punches you to an extent that he dislodges one of your teeth, then you can only do a similar attack on him. You cannot punch him to an extent that you might break his 3-4 teeth simultaneously. That will not be jais. And then Allah Ta'ala is saying, how do you do this? How can you do this? Why? Because whenever you try to recompense, whenever you try to recompensate, it's a human nature that you always cross your limits. You always tend to cross your limits. Whether it be between husband and wife, whether it be brother and sisters, whether it be mother, father, whether it be anyone, siblings, mother, father, mother, children, everywhere, whenever you recompensate, it's human nature to cross limits and to transgress. Therefore Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. You should fear Allah over there. You should fear Allah over there. So if there's an employer and employee relationship, whereby an employer wants to gain his maximum benefit and an employee wants to gain his maximum benefit, what will be the exact mechanism whereby you will work in between? Because both are trying to extract their maximum benefit and they will try to do so. So it's taqwa. When a person is God-fearing, so the employer is God-fearing, he will fulfill his complete actions. And when an employee is God-fearing, he won't torture. He will fulfill his deeds and actions. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا that you should know that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is with the God-fearing people. See, Allah Ta'ala is giving such a beautiful guarantee that Allah Ta'ala is with those who fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Last verse for today, verse number 195. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُكَ. And you should spend in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُكَ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And you should not, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُكَ means you should not bind your hands to a state where you get halak, where you completely die. وَأَحْسِنُوا and you should do good. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves those who do good things. Now this verse is trying to obligate on Muslims something that we don't do. This verse is obligating on Muslims to spend money and materials in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala means in jihad fi sabilillah. That one should spend money, one should spend his wealth in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala fi sabilillah and in jihad fi sabilillah as well. Now ulama and fuqaha have deduced a ruling that Muslims have some other financial obligations as well to the mandatory zakat. We think it's very sad for Muslim ummah that we as Muslims, we think that zakat is the maximum thing that we can do, maximum amount that we can offer. That's what a normal Muslim who's a little bit into deen thinks, that's the maximum thing I can do is give zakat. But jurists have ruled, fuqaha have said, that there is a certain amount, you give zakat, zakat is an obligation, yes. But there are certain financial obligations that are completely obligatory and mandatory upon you except for zakat as well. And one of them is spending in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Spending in jihad fi sabilillah, when there is a need to spend. You have to spend in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we don't do so. The Blessed Companion Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said, this verse was revealed about us. And they said, we can explain it best. It was when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave Islam authority and power, and we started talking that jihad was not necessary anymore. And then we could stay home and take care of our wealth and property. Thereupon this verse was revealed, which made it clear that destruction at this place means the abandonment of jihad. I don't know whether it's appropriate or not right now to speak about it. But as this verse has come, so Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't put yourself into destruction. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari r.a. is saying it means, putting yourself into destruction means abandoning jihad. Unfortunately, we as a Muslim ummah are facing destruction because we as a Muslim ummah have left jihad. We have left jihad completely. As an ummah, there'll be individual groups who might be doing it, but we as an ummah have completely left it, completely abandoned it, and therefore we are facing this destruction. And this proves that banishing jihad from the Muslim ummah or from the lives of Muslims is a cause of degradation and destruction. Another interpretation of this verse is that Sayyidina Barra bin Azib said that those who lose hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that leads to personal destruction. So this verse was, put yourself in destruction, right? Ila tahluka. Tahluka is from the word halakat. We call it in Arabic, in Urdu as well, halakat. Halak. Tahluka. Ha lam ka. Ka means same destruction. Sayyidina Barra bin Azib says that it means that you completely lose hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is also a state. I mean, these verses are completely revealed about our state. We have abandoned jihad, we have completely left jihad. One. Secondly, when we sin against Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we completely let go of the hope of His forgiveness. and we don't even seek His forgiveness. And those who seek His forgiveness do it with such an intention, Al-Aman Al-Hafiz, Al-Aman Al-Hafiz, that they don't even think that Allah will forgive us or not. This is a state, this is the state that Muslims are doing individually, that is, they don't have hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and it's socially as well, that we have left jihad completely. Another interpretation, that interpretation might make you happy, is that, is the ulama have said that putting yourself in destruction means that when you cross the limit of spending in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we don't do it. Trust me, we don't do it. But some ulama have said that putting yourself into destruction means when you cross the limit of spending into the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and you reach a limit whereby your financial obligations to your own relatives, to your own household is affected. The example of that is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq Razinan. I mean, I'm saying this verse, but the way he sacrificed everything for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if Nauzubillah min Zalik, we can't even reach his foot soles. But imagine his iman, he could do so. We can't even spend 10% of our salary on a monthly basis. I'm not talking about zakat. Please, zakat is out of picture. Zakat is mandated, it's farz. I'm talking about extra infaq fi sabilillah. We can't even spend 10%. I'm talking about 10%. I don't know, ulama have mentioned this ruling, looking at which group of Muslims. We don't find these Muslims who have put themselves into destruction by spending so much in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that their wives have kicked them out of the home. If we start doing so similar, trust me, our wives won't even open our doors for us. I wish we can be amongst them. And others think, the last ruling is about this verse is that you should not put yourself in a fight whereby you'll be completely destroyed. For example, if a Muslim army is so weak that if you know that you attack a certain country who's been oppressing Muslims, who have been oppressing non-Muslims, and you're dead sure that you, if you attack, you'll be completely destroyed, then it's forbidden to do so as well. So four rulings with that we drive. First one, what Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Sayyid has now said, is that don't put yourself in destruction means abandoning jihad. Ummat has done that. Second ruling is, Sayyidina Barra bin Azib radiallahu anhu said, losing hope in the forgiveness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we as individuals have done that. Third thing the ulama have said is, that you should spend to a certain extent, that your financial obligations to your household is affected. We as Ummah don't do it. And the fourth thing that the ulama have said is, that you go into a fight whereby you are completely sure that you will be destroyed. Unfortunately, we don't do it. So Alhamdulillah, as a complete ummah, we have left this verse. We don't even act upon this verse. And we don't even think of doing it. It's a very ironic situation over here. Me first, and then everyone else. It's a very ironic situation that we study these verses, but it doesn't change us. It doesn't make us even think of spending so much in the way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So let us just retranslate these verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. From verse number 92, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنْ تَهُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. If they repent, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, then Allah Ta'ala is the most forgiving and Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ. You should fight with them until there is no fitna. وَيَكُونُ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ, and deen is for Allah Ta'ala. فَإِنْ تَهُوا فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. And if they repent, then there is no enmity, there is no fight upon those, upon anyone except for the oppressors. الشَّهْرُ الْحَرَامُ بِالشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامُ وَالْحُرَمَاتُ وَقِصَاصُ. A blessed month, a sacred month is in the place of sacred month. وَالْحُرَمَاتُ وَقِصَاصُ. And unlawful bloodshed has to be recompensed by qisas. فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. And those who transgress upon you, فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى, those who transgress upon you, فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ, so you should also kill them, fight them, بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ, to a level or to similar attack that they carried upon you. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and you should fear Allah. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, and you should know we should understand that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is with the muttaqeen. وَأَنفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and you should spend in the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ, and you should not put yourself into destruction. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ means that you should not put your hands into destruction, right? You should not lead your hands into destruction. Alka yulki means putting, aidi means hand. But it's an idiom. So you have to translate it in a way, do not put yourself into destruction. Wa ahsinu, and do good deeds and do ihsan. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, and indeed Allah tabaraka loves the muhsinin. This last part of the verse number 195, we shall do it inshallah next time because it needs a huge explanation of what is ihsan. Keep it in mind. وَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُكَةِ, the four points that we mentioned about وَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُكَةِ, of not putting yourself in destruction. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us this strength. I'll just ask about the strength from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to ponder upon this last part. Do not put yourself in destruction, and how we have destroyed ourselves as individuals and as ummah. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.